Can I just say it's great to be here with you in Cumber this evening. And even though you've already received a warm word of welcome, I'll be the third man to tell you that tonight, that you are very, very welcome. And it really blesses and encourages me. I'm sure your minister here and the elders and the committee here are really encouraged to see the turnout here tonight. And I would just like to say personally how thrilled and how grateful I am to be here and for you to be here as well. Also, as our brother has said, I would just like to thank him for his friendship and for his encouragement. As he mentioned, I give him a testimony whenever he was the minister in Lisburn. And also, as I said, I have given him a testimony quite a few times now, but do you want to know what? As I was saying today, there's still people that needs to hear what the Lord has done in my life. And even though at times I feel like a broken record, that's just sometimes how I feel. But it still amazes me yet to this day of what the Lord can do in somebody's life if you're willing to give up your life and to follow him. It really is worth it. And I speak to the youngest here this evening, right to the eldest. If you make that decision this evening and come to Jesus with childlike faith to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And see, once you do that wholeheartedly, your life will change forever. I can guarantee and I can rest assure you, and I can look at every single one of you straight in the eye and tell you that from personal experience. I would like us to turn in our Bibles just to give you a wee verse, please, to the New Testament of 1 Peter and the chapter 3. First Peter and the chapter 3. And as I was praying about the meeting here this evening, I was praying for the Lord to give me a verse. Generally, whenever I give my testimony, I tend to kind of stick to the same verse. You know, I would switch it the odd time, but I thought this will be nice. And the Lord has really spoke to me in this verse, and I hope he speaks to you as much as he has to me. So without further ado, if we all there, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're just going to read one verse for time's sake. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 15. And God's word says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." I don't know about you, but whenever I read that verse, I ask myself the question, and I ask each and every one of you the question, if somebody was to ask you tonight, what is the reason of the hope that is in you? What would be your reply? Think about that for a wee minute. If you were asked to give a reason of the hope that is in you, what would you say? I know what my reason would be. I had tried the pleasures of the world and of what the world has to offer. And our brother touched on it. It's just funny how the Lord works and it all ties in of what I'm going to say. And do you want to know the result whenever I tried the things of the world and what the world has to offer? It leaves you completely empty. And do you want to know what? Yes, the world has things to offer. And they're appealing. And they have a pull to us. But what does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 25? The Bible tells us that yes, sin is pleasurable. But what does the last wee bit of that verse say? It's only pleasurable for a season. Everything that this world has to offer us, basically, is only temporary. Everything that God offers us is eternal. And we praise God for that. But there comes a day in each and every one of our lives where we have a God to meet. And the Bible also tells us that, and it says, prepare to meet thy God. And the question is, I have for each and every soul here gathered tonight, on Sunday the 23rd of May 2021, if it was God's will for him to take you from this world this evening, would he be your judge or would he be your friend? The pleasures of this world leaves you empty, but what does a relationship with Jesus do? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 6, it's actually my life verse. I don't know about yous, but I have a life verse. It's my favourite verse in all the Bible. And it's in one of the Beatitudes. And it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For what? For they shall be filled. Do you see the difference already? The word leaves you empty. You can try it. It'll leave you empty. Whenever you have the Lord in your life, you'll be totally filled. Have you ever felt empty inside? I know I have. I'm not ashamed to say I felt empty inside. But with Christ in my heart and my life, I can truly say I'm filled. Everything that we all once were seeking for before we get saved, what was that? There's that missing void in each and every one of our lives. And that missing void is a living, walking relationship with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, whenever you make that most important crucial choice in your life to reject the gospel or to receive the gospel, whenever you receive the gospel, there's that change that comes into your life. There's a wee verse in Joshua 24 and the verse 15, and it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I ask you another personal question tonight? Have you made that choice? Have you made that choice to pick up your cross and to follow him? Without Jesus, Matthew Hunter is absolutely nothing. And before I start sharing my testimony, can I just say this is nothing of what I have done in my life. I give all the glory to my Saviour, the Lord Jesus. I was born and raised in a little town called Randallstown, so I'm quite well travelled this evening. It's nice to get out a wee run, and it's a nice part of the country, I do have to say. And I attended Randallstown Central Primary School as a young boy, and I'm not going to go into too much details tonight, but to give you a rough background of what my life was like as a child, I attended Sunday school with my granny and my granda. I went to the Friday night meetings. I went to the youth fellowships. And believe it or not, I actually made a profession to get saved as a young boy. I acknowledged and realised as a young boy that I was a sinner and my need for a saviour. But the problem with my profession was there was no fruit. There was nothing to say in the life of Matthew Hunter, there's a fellow's life that has changed, even as a young boy. And I really struggled with and getting into primary school. There were things that happened in my life growing up that was really, really hard on me. And by the age of 12, I suffered depression really, really badly by the age of 12 years old as a young boy. And I was put on antidepressants as a 12-year-old. And I was actually placed in a hospital because of my mental health that had deteriorated so badly. And this was at the age of 12. And my family got me out of there, thankfully. And I kind of healed, but I never really healed, if that makes sense. And unfortunately, as oftentimes as it happens, maybe I'm speaking to some young boy or girl in here tonight, and maybe even a wee bit older, maybe in your late 20s, and you maybe done what I done. You went to the youth, you were brought up through Sunday school, but, you know, there comes a time in your life, and may I just add for parents here, for mothers and fathers, there's a wee verse in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And a mother and father's prayer and duty and burden is to raise up their children in the best way that they possibly can. But there comes a time in a young person's life where they're old enough and big enough to make their own choice. And that is to follow the world or to follow the Lord. And unfortunately with me, it was to follow the world. I'll be honest, it got to the stage, the age I was at in my life where church was boring. Our brother touched on it. You know, people are led to believe that the Christian life is a boring life. I can tell you, it's far from it. I laugh at times and the tears is tripping me. And it's not with sorrow, but it's with joy. I have never been as happy in my life. And that was my thinking as a young boy. It was boring, it was unappealing, couldn't be bothered, wanted to do my own thing. Yous know the trend, yous know how it goes at times. And little did I know that that decision that I would make would become influential in the wrong ways in my life. Because really what I had done was, I turned my back on God. And stopped going to church, didn't want to do it anymore. Matthew wanted to do his own thing. Went to secondary school, went to Collibaggy Secondary School. I got bullied at school as well from time to time. And this was along with the depression as well. So you're kind of building up a picture in your head now of what my life was like as a young boy. It was pretty, troubled, you know, as a young boy. I have to say now, my mother really done a good job of raising me and my sister. She done the best that she could. And unfortunately, the bullying got so bad that I got pulled out of that secondary school. And sorry, I told you Collibaggy. I went to Park Hall for my first school, and then I made the transition to Collibaggy in second year. And the bullying continued, but this is whenever we're starting to get into the story a wee bit here. Hopefully I'm not been too long-winded, by the way, already. And sin really started entering my life. And you'll say, Matthew, what do you mean by that there? Well, as oftentimes it happens, a child makes that transition, that huge transition, may I add, from primary school, and you go into high school. And you're exposed to a lot of things, and you've a lot of choices to make, a lot of good choices to make. And I started smoking. Started off smoking with me. Call it what you want, peer pressure, because the ones I was on about with was doing it. And by the way, see what took place in my life? I don't blame anybody for it. It was all my own doing. Started smoking cannabis, started taking and experimenting harder drugs, ecstasy, speed. This was all at high school, by the way. And I'll be honest with you, I had no interest in school at that time. Couldn't wait to get left school. Always had an interest to work. And I don't know if there's any farmers in here tonight, but I actually loved farming whenever I was younger. I would have milked cows. I would have drove tractors and got on. I would have worked in car washes. Always worked, always wanted to get my hands dirty. And I would have rather worked than went to school, to be honest. I was more interested in working than getting an education. And that's one thing I do regret, was not doing better at school with my education. Whenever I was still at school, I landed myself with my first proper job. And basically, due to my sinful actions, that didn't end too well. And I got fired from that job. And even though I knew what I had done that day, I was totally devastated that I had got this job was no longer. And I was out of work for a period of time, for probably about 6 months, the only time I had ever been out of work in my life. And my uncle had this vision to open a business. This was back in 2007, and the recession, if you can remember, had hit really bad at the time. And he opened up a bodybuilding gym in the town of Ballymena. And I started off working in there part-time. Now, I was still quite, naive. I was quite sheltered. I wasn't really exposed to what was going to happen next in my life, if you get me. Yes, I had smoked and I took a drink, turned my back on God, but in my eyes, I was quite sensible. And I was working in that gym a very brief time, and I got introduced to the drug called cocaine. It's a white powdered substance. And it was as simple as this. It was offered to me, and I tried it. And do you want to know what? As sin always starts off with, it was all fun and games at the start. You could have took it or left it. But gradually, as it happens, the Bible tells us sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. And this drug, cocaine, was starting to take real control of my life. My family became aware of it. They were totally disgusted, ashamed, embarrassed of what it was doing. But as somebody in addiction does, what did I do? I told a lot of lies. I manipulated my family. I had the promises promises of change that never came. I'm sorry, Mum, I'll not do it again. I'm sorry, Granda, from what I'm putting you through. I'm sorry, I'll change. I was like a broken record. The change never came. As if that wasn't bad enough, it had really, really started consuming my life. This drug had total control of me. I had no control over it. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, but in 2015, I got badly beat up due to taking drugs. And the result of that incident was two broken cheekbones and a fractured eye socket. I nearly lost the sight in my left eye. I have plates in my face. And my family were totally devastated. They were heartbroken. They seen what drugs was doing to a loved one. They seen what sin was doing to a loved one. They seen how it changed Matthew into somebody that they didn't know anymore. And see, after that there happened, it still wasn't even enough for me to change. And do you want to know why it wasn't enough? It's very simple. Because I still hadn't hit rock bottom. I was still, would you believe, I was still taking pleasure in taking this drug. Once I was healed up, I was straight back at it again, taking cocaine. And with that being said, I was at it all the harder. I was taking it more. Why was I doing that? It was an escape from reality. And isn't that what people do? You take drink to numb the pain. You take cocaine to forget about that late payment on the car insurance or the mortgage or whatever it may be. You block out the pain. The high, you come off the high and you hit the low. What happens? You're still faced with the problem. It doesn't go away. My sin finally found me out, as the Bible tells us. And that was 2017, I believe. So I continued from, I got that vicious attack. I continued for about another 2 years. And it really, really, really did. It got a lot worse. And I was finally caught out. And again, basically what I'd done a very shameful thing. I stole money off my uncle to get more drugs. And he caught me out. And it was a fella's wages that I had took for more drugs. And my uncle rung me up. And he knew rightly, because the trust was broken. The trust was gone. Trust is a very hard thing to gain, but see, once it's lost, it's also very hard to gain back. It takes time. You see, somebody in addiction, it just doesn't affect the individual. It's like wildfire. It's like the domino effect. It affects every single person. And there's never a truer saying, you hurt the people that you love the most. And that was the truth. And that was the case in my life too. And my uncle caught me out, and he had realised what I had done. And he says, Matthew, that's it. I'm sorry. He says, I'm going to have to let you go. And I can honestly say I was on my way to get more drugs that evening. And I turned the car and I came straight home. My heart was beating, as a man says, like Joe 90. I had realised the penny had finally dropped what I had done. And another thing was the money supply for my habit was gone as well. That was another huge thing. And I thank God that he finally, this was his final warning for me to bring me onto my knees and to say, Matthew, when are you ever going to learn? There's a wee verse in Romans chapter 12, and I'll quote it, and it goes along the lines of, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a holy, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And what does that verse mean? God gave everything for us, his son, to die on the cross for the sins that I have committed. Why not you, Matthew, give your life to him? It's the least you can do, is give him a reasonable service. And I can honestly say, throughout my addiction, I was really searching and I was really seeking for help. And this is where the story of, yous will all know him, most of yous will know him, and again, he's a real good friend of mine, is Chris Killen. And he has a Facebook page called The Answer to Addiction. And basically, I was on one night, and I was looking for help, and Chris was advertising a meeting, and I remember there was another man testifying who was caught up in drug addiction, gave his life to the Lord, and the Lord changed his life. And I can just remember the tears was just rolling down both sides of my face. Why? Well, I suppose number one, I was broken. I was desperate. I didn't know how to get out of what I was in. And I wanted what they had. I knew what they had was real. I knew it wasn't fake. I knew it wasn't a temporary thing like I had been involved in before, all temporary things. This was everlasting. My aunt knew nothing about me watching these videos, and my aunt didn't know what to do. And who did she ring? She rung Chris Killen. And Chris Killen came out and seen me. It was one Sunday evening, I'll never forget it, after church. And I was in a bad, bad way. And I more or less said to him along the lines, Chris, what can I do to get help? I'm willing to do absolutely anything. And that's the thing I want to say to you as God's people. See, if you're praying for a loved one, for a family member, never give up in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. Why? My family was praying for me. I had people praying for me. That's why I'm standing here this evening. It is but the grace of God. I am what I am. And I was destined to go to a Christian residential program in Dublin in the south called Talla. And it was a year program. Filled out the application. I was ready to go. Now, let me just emphasise, going to the programme wasn't going to be the thing that changed my life. A programme is a tool that's used to get you in a relationship with God and to cover all the areas of the problems that you have and to see yourself as a person for who you really are. And there's no better thing to see yourself whenever you read this. The Lord had other plans. I didn't actually end up going to the home in Dublin. I would have had to wait. This was December 2017. I would have had to wait it to January 2018. And I got a phone call, and it was put to me, Matthew, would you go to America? And I was in the kitchen with my mum at the time, and I says, America? Now, bear in mind, I'm not well-travelled. And I said to myself, sorry, I said to Chris, I says, when do I go? Because you see, the thing is, I got to the stage in my life where I oftentimes say, I would want to China to get help. That might seem a bit far-fetched, but I had totally came to the end of myself. And I realised what I needed to do, and that was to surrender my life to God, because I had no life to begin with. And I flew out to America. I'm very grateful for the people that was involved in getting me out to America. And it was through a Baptist church, North Love Baptist Church, and the name of the ministry is called Reformers Unanimous. And Paul Kingsbury is the pastor. I do believe he has preached in some of our churches over here. And I went over there on the 20th of December 2017, and whenever I got there, I fully surrendered my life to the Lord. I asked him to forgive me, and I was genuine. I wasn't just saying this for people pleasing. I was genuine. The tears were tripping me. I says, Lord, forgive me. The things I have done, I says, please forgive me. I give my life to you. You have your own way, Lord, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I can honestly say from that point on that my life has truly changed forever. I came home and I was praying about it, about what to do next. And I worked in the men's home where I was originally meant to go to for 10 months. And it was a very, very humbling experience because I was now in the position of helping other people and to share with them the gospel that sets men and women free, to find out their purpose in life. What is life all about? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Worked in there for 10 months, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a wee bit of a home bird. And I was down in Dublin for nearly a year, and I was missing home. But I said to myself, right, Lord, I'm in your will. I'm happy. I'm content. The next thing, again, another phone call, and it was a man from up home here. He had offered me a full-time job. He knew all about my background. He was one of the men that helped get me away to America, so he knew everything about me. And this man was willing to give me another chance, a chance in life. And people may say, Matthew, why did you leave the Lord's work to go to a circular job? I believe that the Lord, I'm in this season of my life where the Lord is humbling me, he's shaping me, he's moulding me, and he's developing me for the bigger and better things that's yet to come. My heart's desire is really in full-time ministry to reach out to men and women that's lost, to do what Jesus would do if he was on earth today, to reach out to the lost. I've now been working full-time for 2 years. This coming week, I'll be 2 years working full-time. And I'll be honest with you, and you'll laugh at me, I call myself normal. And you'll say to yourselves, it depends what you class as normal. You think I'm not wise. But I can't actually class myself as normal now. I'm working full-time. I'm earning a full-time wage. My family relationships has been totally restored. In fact, we're the closest we've ever been. My mum has came out with me to gospel missions. My wee nephew is going to Sunday school. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I used to be a drug addict less than 4 years ago. I'm a member of my church in Randallstown. I get the opportunity to take midweek prayer meetings, get the opportunity to share my testimony. I get the opportunity to help Chris. Now, I have to say, I don't get out as much as I would like to with my full-time job, but my phone is always on for people that need help. But my time has gone this morning. It's shifting quickly, and I could talk on and on and on, to be honest with you. But I just really want to say to you, and I genuinely mean this from the bottom of my heart, if there's anything I can ever do for anybody in this church, young or old, or somebody listening to this broadcast, if there's anything I can do, even a phone call, even a chat, a conversation, a coffee, socially distanced, anything at all that I can be of help, I want to try and to help you. And maybe for somebody here that hasn't took that step of faith yet to come and to ask Jesus into their life as their own personal Saviour. You know, sometimes people think there has to be these big fireworks and stuff whenever you get saved. It's not like that at all. All you have to do is say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Genuine repentance, meaning it from the heart, not to people, please. Don't be worrying about what your neighbour says or about what your workmate says or a family member. Please don't let that put you off. Would you come tonight to the one who can change your life forever? I'll hand back now to your brother.
Well, we do thank our brother Matthew for sharing with us that personal word of testimony. And as he said, he could talk all night. There's so much more in his life that he hasn't shared with you. But he has summarized it in the time that he has taken. But what we're stirring at tonight is reality. Some people in the world will mock Christianity and they will say it's the figment of your imagination. They say it's not for me and all this nonsense we hear. But what we're facing tonight is reality. People may even say, well, I wouldn't become a Christian because the church is full of hypocrites. And there might be hypocrites, but there are hypocrites everywhere. But we realize if someone says, well, there are people and they're just counterfeit. Well, if they're counterfeit, then there has to be reality. There can't be a counterfeit if you don't have something that's real. And what you're witnessing tonight is something that's genuine, that's real. He said it himself 4 years ago. He was an addict. 4 years later, he's a Sunday school teacher. And of course, if people don't realise the change in the gospel, they'll be saying, we know there's an addict in Rattlestown, he's teaching Sunday school. But he's converted. He's saved by the grace of God. I did have a little chuckle to myself sitting there when he mentioned that he moved from one drug to the next, and then he eventually moved on to cocaine, and he spoke about being high on cocaine, and then the next breath he says, and I love farming. I thought to myself, you don't have to be high on drugs to love farming, surely not. And there are a lot of farmers here. Don't go to the door, that's all I can say. You'll get a handshake and it'll be like sandpaper. And that's just their wives. The men are worse than that, I can tell you. But I did have a little chuckle because there's plenty of farmers here, brother. And you're right company if you love farming in this house. But we have seen reality tonight, the grace of God, a transformation. There are many young people out there tonight and they need the Saviour. They really do. They have no purpose in life. It's empty. It is empty. You talk to them. That's why suicide among the young is rife. How could a young person at 16... or 19 years of age say, I've nothing to live for? How could they ever get to that place? Because they don't have the Lord. They don't have the Lord. And if they have Christ, Christ comes to give us life. Life more abundant, he said. Life with a capital L. Life that has quality about it. Life that brings joy and contentment. It's not a bed of roses, it's not. And we're not saying that we walk about with a coat hanger in our mouth with a smile all the time. We don't. We go through our trials and tribulations. But with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. We know he's in control. He's ordering our lives. He's directing our affairs. And everything's working out for our good because he loves us. And he's with us all the way. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's why we convene meetings like this, that you too might come to know Christ as your Saviour, that you might be saved, that you might enjoy the salvation Matthew spoke about, that you might come to Christ tonight and receive him by faith. You're not becoming a Free Presbyterian. You're not becoming a Baptist or a Pentecostal. You're not becoming some Anglican or anything like that. you're becoming a Christian. That suggests you're not born a Christian. You've got to be born again. You have to have that time in your life and experience. And you know, I want to tell you this. We could bring dozens of converted drug addicts to this meeting house. And maybe in the future when these regulations are relaxed, we will literally bring them to this house from that very home that our brother was speaking about. Leighton Kelly and all those men. Bring them to this house. And I tell you something, those stories are horrific, of ruined lives. And yet they're triumphant because of the grace of God. And the Lord spurs us all. I would like those men to come up here with our brother Chris Killen. And they will share with you what the Lord has done for their souls. Remarkable testimonies. Remarkable. Now what about you tonight? As we close, where do you stand with God? Face up to reality tonight. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Have you repented of your sin? Have you believed that Christ alone can save you? If not, why not come tonight, young person, older person, and receive Christ into your heart and into your life as your own and your personal Savior? You can go away tonight with the joy of sins forgiven, peace with God. You can lay your head on the pillow tonight knowing that if anything ever happened to you, should you never wake, and I don't want to be morbid, or if the Lord was to return again, it's well with your soul. You're cleansed in the blood. You have peace with God. Money can't buy that. Nothing in this world can give you that. Oh, to have God's salvation and to know for sure that you're heaven bound and that Christ is your Savior. It's something more than gold. It's something more than all the riches of this world. I tell you what it is. It's everything. It's everything. And our brother Matthew has related that story of his conversion and then the change. Here's the reality of the gospel. And what the Lord has done for Matthew, he can do for you tonight. He can change your life. We don't want to prolong the meeting, but I could say to you, I could bring people to this pulpit right now. Just here, there, and yonder, from upstairs, from young to the eldest, I could bring them to this pulpit and say, just tell us how it happened, when, where, and how. And they'll tell you of a time in their life when they were saved. It's a common experience. It's not something we make up. You couldn't write the script for the church. The world don't believe it. The world just casts scorn upon it. But I tell you, it's reality. It's true. And it can be you tonight. Now, we'll not march you into a pulpit. We'll not say, well, once you get saved, you're up here. Now, tell us how it happened. No, no, no. We'll not do that. It wouldn't embarrass you. You see, it's a personal thing as well, isn't it? It's between you and God. Well, will you do something tonight? Will you settle the matter of your soul's salvation with God? Will you do it? If you say to me, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, if you would like to speak to Matthew, if you want to speak to myself or some Christian friend that you know in this congregation, well, able to point you to the Savior, well, please do that. Don't go away without Christ tonight. Don't leave this house, young person, older person, without the Savior. This is the night that you need to be saved. This is the night that you need to get right with God. God is here. Christ is here. His arms are open wide. He says to you, come unto me. Come to Christ tonight. He will welcome you. He will pardon and he will forgive you and he will save you. And then the Holy Spirit will come into your life and you'll have a new dynamic, a new power. Why has he not returned to cocaine? Why has he not gone back to the nightclub? Why hasn't he gone back to drink or to smoking? Why has he not gone back to those other pleasure-giving drugs? Why? I'll tell you why. He's got something far better. And there's no comparison. He is Christ. I wonder, do you have what Matthew has? Maybe you say, I'd love to be a Christian. I'd love to get saved. I'd love to know Christ. But I just don't know how. Well, friend, I want to tell you how. You've got to admit you're a sinner. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have sinned against God? Do you believe also that your sin is an offense to God? And it must be paid for. And you have nothing to offer God. Not a single thing. No good works, no church attendance would ever get you to heaven, nor would it deal with your sin. In fact, you're helpless and you're hopeless. And until you get to that place, you'll never be saved. But if you're there tonight and you say, "Preacher, I agree with everything that man said. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I'm lost and perishing. I believe I can't save myself." Well, do you believe that Jesus Christ alone died on the cross to save you? Do you believe that he shed his blood, that your sins might be forgiven and God would accept the sacrifice of Christ for you? Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Well, friend, you're not far from the kingdom, but you're just not in there. You're just not saved yet. But will you come? Would you say to the Lord Jesus, "I believe you died for me, and I truly repent of my sin. I turn from my sin," just as Matthew did. He yielded his life to Christ. He put all on the altar, and he says, "Lord, every piece of me, every part of me is yours." And he gave his heart and his life to Christ, and he invited the Savior in, and Christ came in and saved him. And now the Holy Spirit lives within him, empowers him to stand in a pulpit and to teach Sunday school and to do many other things that he is doing, and to witness to other fellow addicts, although he's now a converted one, and to tell them how they too can have victory in Jesus' name. Will you come tonight? If you say, "Preacher, I'd like to talk more about that. I would like just to chat to you." Well, listen, friends, we have all night, believe me. We have all night. We are in no hurry away. I don't think so anyway, Matthew. I'm talking for you as well. You work in the morning. I only work one day a week, so I'm all right. Finish tonight at 12 midnight. I'm only jesting. But I tell you, we will wait till next Sunday, if it's needful, just to point you to the Savior. That you go away tonight with the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God, and you would be saved by God's grace. Now, we can't save you. We can't do it. But you've got to come, and he will. Christ will save your precious, never-dying soul. Could I just say in closing that we have some free publications tonight. He talked about our brother Chris Killen. Chris has a little booklet just produced recently, and teaching the truth in relation to drugs. This is a free publication. You can take one or more of these tonight as you leave. They should be at the door as you're leaving, and then the two exit doors here as well, and probably going out from the gallery. If you want a copy of that, you know someone would benefit from that book. If you'd like to take a couple, we'd ask you please not to take 30 and 40 and sell them on the black market. No, they're free of charge. They're designed in the gospel to teach the truth about addiction and about drugs. We have handed these out to the Sunday school and some of our young people here in the church. It's not only educational, but it's the answer to addiction. Addiction, Christ is the answer. And then we have, again, a book that has gone very, very quickly. It's free of charge. It's in relation to mental health. And we know that during COVID-19 and lockdown, so many people are facing mental health issues. And they're very lonely. You ever think in the book of Genesis what God said when he created everything? He looked upon it and he said these words. It was very good. But there was one thing in a perfect world he said wasn't good. And he says it's not good that man should be alone. Loneliness leads to mental health. This booklet by Dr. Nigel Campbell and the Reverend Colin Mercer is basically based on the Psalms 42 and 3. It's a tremendous little booklet. Take it tonight. It's free of charge. If you want to give it out to some people you know that would read it and benefit from it, then that's available tonight. Sorry we can't give this book away. It is priced, not because of ourselves, but because of the publisher. It's $6.95, and it's simply Boy Matthew. It's the story, the tragic story of tragedy and grief and the loss of young Matthew Arnold, 24 years of age, and was killed on his motorcycle. And I did the funeral service along with the Reverend Paul Thompson and Phyllis and Hartford Arnold, who lost two children, Thomas and Wensley, and lost a third child to that motorbike accident. It's called Boy Matthew, and it outlines just their reflections upon their son and how they have dealt with that tragedy and that grief. Now, we're sorry we can't give this away tonight. We'd like to do that. but it's priced at $6.95. You can take a copy, leave your details with the, I think it's our brother Jackie, and then you can furnish the finance a little later on if that's possible. So two free publications. You can't say the Free Pre-Church don't give anything away. The name free hardly means anything in this denomination, you know. We always have a basket at the door, but these are free. And you can say, I got them free in the freeze. Okay, but I had to pay for that one. So keep that in mind. And the meeting's over, and we thank you very much for your attention, and we wish you Godspeed. May the Lord bless you this week and meet you at the point of your need. Father in heaven, it is with joy and thanksgiving that we have heard once again the wonderful story of conversion. We thank thee for the grace of God and the mighty working power of thy gospel and spirit in the life of Matthew Hunter. We thank thee, O God, for what God hath wrought. And Lord, our eyes have seen the grace of God. We have heard just a little snippet of what his life was like before he was saved. And now, Lord, we look at him, and what a change, what a transformation. He quoted the verse himself, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. All things are passing away, and all things are becoming new. And we pray you'll bless Matthew. Remember his girlfriend. Remember the wider family circle. For those that are unconverted, Lord, save them. And then the hope he has given us for our children and our grandchildren, that we might pray for them, that they too might come to know the Saviour and be transformed by the grace of God. And loving Father, we thank thee for the ministry and song. Bless thy servant, Sarah, and as she sings around the churches and in other places, use her gifts and talents in the gospel. Bring glory to thy name. Be with her dad tonight and her mum and undertake for them. And we pray, Lord, you will part us now in thy fear and favour. And those of us who are saved, may we leave this house prayerfully and very carefully, pondering the things we have heard. But for those who as yet are not saved, may this be the night that they wait behind, that they seek the Lord, and they come to know Christ as their Saviour. So take of our thanks for today. And loving Father, in answer to prayer, be pleased to glorify thy Son. And the people of God said, Amen.